Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at BakerU.edu. Obviously, we start with the news of the day. Jack Caglione has been called up from AAA Omaha. He will make his big league debut tomorrow night in St. Louis as the Royals take on the Cardinals, a 6:45 first pitch. We'll play you some of the audio again of Jack getting called up. Those videos are always so cool when somebody has that special moment, and you have that on social media if you want to see the video, but we'll play some of the audio of it. But it has finally happened. Jack Caglione is headed to the big leagues. We're going to talk more about how we got to this point in time and what prompted the move now. Why is today the day? And last night, I guess, the day. And tomorrow going to be the debut for him.
Next up, I watched Trinity. The Royals did drop 2-3 against the Tigers over the weekend. Obviously, only gave up one run yesterday, but lost that game 1-0 after a 1-0 win against Scooble on Saturday. So an interesting weekend, to say the least. The Royals offense obviously continues to struggle. Part of the reason, as Alex mentioned, they're probably making that move for Jack Caglione. The Royals now 2 games above 500 after the weekend set against the Tigers. Off today, start their series obviously tomorrow against the Cardinals.
Next up, unfortunately, not the weekend both K-State or KU fans were hoping for, both eliminated from the NCAA baseball tournament for Kansas. I would say far even more disappointing considering the great year that they had, but they weren't able to get a single win over the weekend. Obviously, double elimination, Fayetteville Regional, but they lost their first game to Creighton, got blown out, and then they were huge favorites against North Dakota State. You figured they could at least get that one. They ended up dropping that as well, so they did not win a single game there at the Regional.
Both no-showed. A real bummer. I was looking forward to maybe a local gold. I kind of thought maybe you'd find a reason to get back up to Omaha if for some reason Kansas had made it. Unfortunately for them,
I mean, KU didn't even get to play Arkansas. I mean, K-State at least got to the point where they were playing Texas in the Austin Regional. KU was played Creighton in North Dakota State and couldn't get a win. But that's what's fun about the college baseball tournament. I mean, the number one team overall, Vandy, they're already out too. They're the first top seed to get eliminated.
Happens every year. It's a kind of, you know, baseball is kind of a, it's a variable sport, at least to say. Next up on What Trinity, the NBA Finals are set. The Pacers did eventually eliminate the Knicks over the weekend, so they'll take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. That series will start on Thursday. So maybe Drew's bandwagon team, the Pacers, they'll be ready to go.
Relax.
I still don't have a photo of you. at a Pacers game.
Did you see a photo? There's a photo.
There is a photo out there.
Wait, for real?
Now, it's not him at a game.
It's not me at a game.
Drew put a photo on Instagram.
Jalen Rose pinstripe.
Cody.
Jalen Rose pinstripe Pacers jersey.
Saw this on the drive back with Dusty yesterday from Omaha. And it's an incredible photo. It's an incredible photo of Drew in a Pacers uni.
Little kid Drew.
How old were you thinking that?
Probably
photo?
5 or 6.
You think that young?
When Jalen Rose was playing.
You think that young in that photo?
I probably, because Jalen Rose played from 96 to 01, I think, or 02 at the Pacers. So, and I would have been 7 in 02. So maybe I was like 6 or 7, but not too much older than that, I would guess.
No, I hope your Pacers win. I don't have any issue with your Pacers.
I'm so excited. If you like basketball, then this series was the best possible outcome for you, I think. The two best teams since the All-Star break, period, in the league.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm curious if anyone can actually put up a fight against the Thunder. They have made this look
very tough.
A little too easy, at least on this end. And that's just one of those years where they've been the best team all season long.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it hasn't been a mystery who the best team in basketball has been. It's been the Thunder.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget, it is a Monday, a great day in KC. If you're trying to figure out what to do for lunch, go see our friends over at 30 Hop. They're our Monday lunch partner here on Cody and Gold. They've got $5.99 classic burgers on Monday. 30 Hop is your new go-to. An American bar, a kitchen with bold flavors, local taps, great patios, and an unbeatable happy hour. For those of you around the Lee Summit area, you know all about 30 Hop. Also, they got a brand new location in Merriam, right down the street from us there in Grand Station. They're a proud lunch partner here on Cody and Gold. Stop in for lunch. Stay for happy hour. 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, big patio.
Great spot. Go check them out. Like you said, 30hop.com if you want to take a look at that menu.
So Cags is up, man. It finally has happened. We've been talking about this.
I mean,
this is
still earlier than I thought.
Well, it's still finally because we've been talking about it.
Sure,
no,
sure.
This is the express timeline.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we had JJ Piccolo on a week or two ago, and he's expected maybe to join us tomorrow, we'll see. The timeline that he's been on since being drafted has still been best case scenario stuff. He's forced the issue from maybe being a July or August call up. So then it became pretty clear after his first week in AAA that, no, June's a real possibility. So then he continued to hit this week in Omaha, but also the big league team had its struggles offensively again, as they have all year, and lost a pair of 1-0 games on Saturday. Had 2-1 games split them, I should say. And that, to me, forced the issue. It's their desire to win now is very clear based off of doing everything possible until the trade deadline right now to improve it. And then also, you know, the whole Super 2 eligibility stuff. Now, maybe they still think that they're good on that because it's close enough and they have some formula they know. Otherwise, there's a chance by calling up now, there's a chance.
Cost some more money.
It could end up costing more money in the future, but they're willing to do it now because we know there's zero pop in this lineup.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, is that they said all the right things. We don't want to put too much pressure on him. We don't want him to save the lineup. Vern said that. Tough. Sorry, man. Pressure's on. You are, by fans' accounts, the savior for the offense. And look, I wouldn't view him that way if I were you. I would say, how about just improvement in the offense? Because this team can pitch so well. They don't need an offensive savior. They don't need someone to come in and hit 17 home runs a game in order. They just need a run. 2 runs. They just need a couple more a week.
I think fans view him as a savior, though.
I know.
Right? I mean, that's hard to flip, and I get why people feel that way. The organization, of course, is not putting that pressure on him, but I think fans are expecting him to come up and everything to be not, you know, great, but that he's going to just jumpstart the entire offense. I hope that's the case. I mean, I think it's a energy boost for the clubhouse. I'll tell you that. I think it shows them as well that this organization is trying to win in a season where the expectation wasn't just to make the playoffs, but the expectation really was to go and win the division.
Yeah, it was. And the division's obviously, it was already tough. You lose a series to Detroit. Now you've only won, what, 2 of the 6 games you've played against them? So you're, or no. Yeah, 7 games. 2 of the 7 games you've played against them. So you've run yourself into a real problem in the division already, just being behind the 8-ball. So unless you're going to go sweep them or something like that, you've made it a challenge. But the best part about this is that I'm just excited because Cags forced the issue. Very rarely, like, there's plenty of times I've watched them, like, think about the last, like, 3 guys they've called up this year to try to, even guys who'd already been in the big leagues. Rave and Lofton and they've made all these little moves as an effort to, even like Noah Cameron, right? He was coming in with a little fanfare at the time. He's obviously been excellent. but he was coming in with a little fanfare at the time where it's just like, meh, we're just trying things to find the offense. Can one extra bat, can switching on him for MJ, can this or that, can they do this and get there? Cags just played his way so you couldn't ignore it anymore. In AA, he hit .322 with a nearly .400 on base and hit 9 homers. In AAA, he hit 6 homers and hit .319 with a .370 on base and like an 1,100 OPS. So in the not that many games he played, he hit 15 homers. And I don't even know if that's updated. Maybe it is. But like outside of that, like Jack Caglione forced his way into this lineup.
He forced up the timeline. I still think, though, why tomorrow is in large part because of what continued to happen at the big league level.
I think that's crazy.
There was no way they were going to have a perfect scenario to bring him up. We could go back and play the audio from a week ago from JJ where he acknowledged, like, you know, basically, ideally, you would like to bring him up when the offense and the team is playing well. Doesn't mean they're going to wait till that happens, clearly. But is this the most ideal scenario for him to get called up? No. But that doesn't mean it's a bad decision, but is it the perfect scenario? No. The perfect scenario is that the offense is rolling and you're plugging them in the eighth spot. Not the offense is struggling, you're plugging them in the fifth or sixth spot, and you're hoping that he can jumpstart this offense. And the fan base, understandably so, has just enormous expectations because of what he has done. And I think everybody, you know, recognizes the potential that is there. Now, will we see that all this year? Or is this more of a next year thing? Who knows? But bigger picture, the comps are not meant that he's going to be that player tomorrow.
The comps
are that's what he might be throughout his career. Not that tomorrow Pete Alonso's batting sixth for the Royals. You know what I mean?
I hope that's the case.
That would be great.
And occasionally rookie players do that, like Pete Alonso. But yeah, it's fewer and far between guys who just burst onto the scene and do it. So I'm going to have reasonable expectations and time for him to adjust to a level like I would any player. I was willing to give him time, Gold, to adjust to the AAA level. He just didn't need it. The reason why you make this move is pretty simple. Putting him in AA or AAA, it's a waste of his time. He might have flaws in his game. Chase rate, all the others, right? Whatever the issues, whatever the little metrics suggest that Jack Caglione might struggle at the big league level. I'll point out, he's averaging like 95 miles per hour per hit in an exit velocity. He is hard hit rate, barrel rate, all of it. He is hitting AAA. So it's just a waste of his time. It doesn't mean he can't struggle in the big leagues, but he's not going to learn how to not struggle by going up against inferior talent. That's really what it came down to, in my opinion. You're right. I think the timeline moved up ahead of probably 2 weeks because the offense couldn't hit and all of that part with it. Do you just go ahead and change? By the way, is this the chance to for anybody who's asking, like Mikel, the leadoff instead. Is this the time to just completely redo the lineup? Mikel leadoff, India fifth or sixth, flip Jack with the other. And is this when you just you go all in and just go like mix and match and, you know, try to figure out the optimal scoring lineup now?
I think that's another, I think that's after Cags has been in the lineup for a week or two or more when you move to that kind of decision. I mean, they're clearly pushing the chips to the middle of the table a little bit even more, but I don't know if they're going to just change everything. Look, think about we've had the offseason conversation about clearly what they did or didn't do, but in season at this point, for a team that is two games above .500, and this speaks to, I don't think desperation's right, where I just think what the real expectation is out of this team and how great the starting pitching is, that you don't want to waste it, which is all the moves that they have made, and it's still just now June 2nd. I mean, they're starting, and this some of it is, again, off-season stuff, but left fielder, right fielder, not there. You're opening day left. One's in AAA. One's out of the organization. Your rotation maybe now has been great, but Noah Cameron's been called up this year. You have a lineup that has still been altered at multiple times,
They keep trying to find the optimal lineup. They're in search of offense. There's no doubt about that. Every little move they've made has been in search of offense.
But now you have Jack Caglione's going to be an everyday player, and I know they've been rotating Nick Lofton and John Rave and stuff, but Drew Waters was also called up at one point in time. Think about the different pieces the moves that they have made along the way to try to fix this offense in season. Mm-hmm. and obviously has not worked to this point in time. But that's the spot that they're at, and they're running. By the way, they're running out of other things to do. I mean, the only other thing left after now calling up Tag is a trade, which
or
is
call
to,
MJ back up and flip him.
Look,
or,
I like
you know,
I like that he's hidden better. He's got to do that for more than just what he's done. But the last 15 or 16 games, he's maybe found something. I saw him hit two home runs on Saturday. Hopefully, that's the case, and he's the guy that can eventually come back up and be your eighth or ninth hitter. In a month or so.
Yeah, and if you're the eighth or ninth hitter, then the pressure's not on. This is what's so frustrating with the offense is that they have some guys actually outperforming what their expectations were. Kyle Isbell's outperforming his expectations. Michael Garcia is outperforming his expectations. And so, like, to this point, Gold, they've got some guys in their offense who are hitting better than expected or better than they were expected to do this year. But every time, the one that kills me is less than two outs with a runner on third. That is when you know an offense is really going bad, is because with less than two outs and a runner on third, I don't know what their success rate is in that scenario, but it is bleak, really bleak.
If you missed it, this is how it sounded in the manager's office down in AAA. Jersh giving the news to Jack Caglione that he was getting the call up.
All right, seriously, how do you feel?
Good.
You feel a little tired because you've been doing a lot of stuff.
Not bad.
I mean, you've been doing outfield stuff, and you've been taking your ground balls.
Everything. Russ didn't mark me, but it's been good.
So you think you feel like you're at the point where you could help, like, them up there? You think you could?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then you can get on the charter tomorrow night and go with them. Okay, so. So what do you think?
Oh, that sounds great.
Just remember, it's still a game. It's baseball.
Yeah.
It's a little higher level, but you know you can play.
Yeah. Shoot, player.
All right, give me a hug.
Oh, yeah. What do you call my dad?
What did you think when I started talking to you?
I mean, I was like, damn, it's probably for hitting my knob against the stair.
I heard that.
I heard that. But, oh, no way.
Go call your dad.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Let the fam know.
Congrats.
I don't think you're going to the zoo tomorrow.
So that was how it sounded when Cags got the news that he's headed to the big league club. Awesome moment. Those are always very, very cool.
You had me had to go look it up. I was looking up MJ Melendez's stats. I'm like, see, actually
last 15, 16 games, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I pulled up 14, but yeah, same thing. 316, 361 on base and a 992 OPS. Maybe you're right. Maybe you did find something, but that's a down the road problem. Those moments, I know, like, people like want to sour him sometimes with that one. It's like, what do you think? Jack Caglione never knew he was going to get to the majors? Yeah, I'm sure this season, after he started raking in double and triple A, he knew he was going. Doesn't change the moment of like, getting the call, finding out you're a big leaguer. And baseball should always lean into these moments because they're the only sport that gets to do it this way. It's cool. And from there, I got to call my dad. I got to call my, you know, like, you start running through your head, like, I got to call my fiance. I got to call my fiance. I got to call my dad. I got to call my, you know, like, whoever. I got to call everyone in my world. And then it's like the normal stuff. Like, who do I put in charge of getting tickets for people in St. Louis? Who do I put in charge? Because you don't want to deal with that. You want to play baseball. Somebody's got to be your point person.
The good
almost.
News is today's an off day, so I'm assuming either last night or this morning he drove from Omaha to Kansas City.
Get on the charter.
Get settled in, and then he'll fly out with the team to St. Louis today, presumably, and then go play some baseball tomorrow night for his big league debut. And if you're just joining us, we've been trying to figure out plans and everything. We will be in St. Louis broadcasting live tomorrow. Doing our show there, and then we'll be heading to the ballpark, and so you can find stuff on our social media channels tomorrow. Dusty also is heading out there, I think after his show tomorrow is his plan, and then he'll join us in St. Louis as well. So be sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, X, whatever we're calling it these days, to make sure you have that. But we're looking forward to obviously head out there for his debut, and then Kauffman Stadium next Tuesday when the Yankees are in town will be his Kauffman Stadium debut, and that's going to be a pretty special scene.
I know he's making his major league debut. Do you think he wants to rip some more packs?
I'm going to go ahead and say that's probably not where his focus is going
to
be.
Do you think he wants to rip some more packs?
A little bit more busy, you know.
It could be fun though. We had fun the last time, and he likes doing that.
He does. Yeah. I think his focus will be elsewhere for a little bit.
You think we should leave him alone tomorrow?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's a good.
I'll tell you what, though. For whatever reason, he was like, yeah, let's go ahead and rip some packs. He loves, he is officially in on Cody and Gold and then the show and you guys.
On his debut?
If he took the time to do that, I mean.
Matt, you know what it is? Let's just tell him the next time we want to rip packs with Cags is when we get a blaster box or some sort of box that could contain his patch.
That's next year.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
By the way,
that's
tomorrow, his uniform tomorrow will have the debut patch on it. He wears it for one game. Then that patch gets taken off the jersey and it gets sent to Tops. And it'll be in a top series. I don't know if it'll be series one next year or what it'll be in. But yeah, that'll be a massive chase next year.
Yeah.
Massive.
So I was saying, will you come rip some packs with us when it's the pack that could contain your debut patch? Which is something he's going to try to buy, but also like, price ain't going to be cheap. If he wants to buy it, he's going to have to pony up some serious dough. What will that be worth?
Mm. Well, it depends what he does this year, right? You know, if he wins Rookie of the Year or something like that, then the price goes up dramatically.
Not prepared for them.
But look, it's not going to be Paul Skeens level, but easily over $100,000. There's a good chance, yeah. If he performs the way that people
would you give him? Would you give him a discount? Would you let Jack have it for 50?
If I pulled the,
if you Jack pulled it, would you let Jack Caglione have it for 50?
We would negotiate something. I would still have to have cash involved.
Yeah, you'd need some cash, and also when I want to sit crown seats, can I just text you?
The odds of pulling that are like one in something million. I mean, it's crazy.
It's like winning the lottery.
Yeah, someone says, would he not be in Series 2 this year? I guess there's a chance. Yeah, I guess in October, November, that's a good point. There's a chance. Series 1 is just coming out, I think. So I guess he could be in there. So we'll see.
Plausible. Don't know.
Someone says, why not just force them not to take it off the patch? They have a deal. I mean, it's the Players Association has a deal. Mm-hmm. Like, that's part of their deal. The patch, he doesn't get, the patch goes to Tops for the card. That's just how.
They don't get to just keep all the, they get paid money by these companies to sign cool stuff. Cags, he also tried to buy a Superfractor, right? And couldn't get it.
Cags has a deal with Topps. That's his. He doesn't. His cards are never. You'll never see his cards in Panini products. They're getting too nerdy now, but you'll never see it in Panini stuff. He's got a deal with Topps. So, anyway,
gotta take exclusivity checks.
Coming up in about 8 minutes, we're expected to be joined by Joel Goldberg, FanDuel Sports Network. We'll try to get that locked down, but I believe Joel's going to call in. He obviously has been part of some of these debuts over the years. I want to get his perspective on what Cags is going to experience tomorrow and just what the vibe might be like in the clubhouse and around the organization. So we'll see if we connect with Joel Goldberg in just a bit, plus the random question of the day coming up in 20 minutes or so. But lost in all this, understandably so, is that Chris Bubich yet again was absolutely incredible. Unfortunately, there's a wild pitch. Other than that, his ERA went down yesterday. Continues to be, I think it's now the third best ERA in baseball, fourth best ERA in baseball.
It's the best, last I saw.
Is it the best? Okay. It was third, maybe before the game, sorry.
But it's also just like, it's like one of the fourth or fifth best months a left-handed pitcher has ever had. Like, not just in Royals history, it's like one of the best that, like, Zach Greinke is probably the closest, not left-handed, just pitchers who've had it in the year he won the Cy Young. So just as a reminder for the level of dominance he was, and I'd have to look it up out of starters, but I mean, we're talking about not just having a good season anymore or not just having a good stretch gold. We're talking about one of the guys having the single best years in all of baseball. He does have the lowest ERA in baseball at 1.43. Nathan Eovaldi being second, and then a bunch of other guys you've probably heard of, including Cy Young favorites, Garrett Crochet and Paul Skeens and Scooble and others.
Yeah.
He should be. If his name was Tarek Scooble, he would be the heavy favorite to win this Cy Young. But because he didn't have the seasons these other guys had already put on paper, he wasn't. I'm going to try to just separate for a minute. The frustration's over. I was tweeting about Chris Bubich. I had mentioned you in it because we had talked about it on the show. Separate this from the offense for a minute and just appreciate what Chris Bubich is doing. He is having an unbelievable season to the point that you almost can't believe that he didn't find it. Find it. As in, this is closer to what Chris Bubich is and what they saw when they originally saw him. Whatever adjustments he made this offseason, they have all clicked in a single year together, and he looks like one of the five most dominant pitchers in baseball. So yeah, I kind of predict, maybe not he has 1.43 ERA gold, but I expect this level all year, don't you? He's not walking anybody. He's striking guys out. You know, he's doing what he has to do. He's not giving up homers. It's kind of a little bit of everything.
Yeah. I think Chris Bubich, the turnaround that he has is add him to the list of examples from Brian Sweeney and from this regime, right? We talk a ton about Cole Reagans, of course, and what he's done since he got traded. But Chris Bubich, his turnaround, of his career, coming off injury. Now, I guess it's been 2 years at this point after being in the bullpen last year.
Yeah, he was kind of a part-time player last year.
It's a great story. I think the odds make sense, though, if you're just talking about the award, because Skubal won it a year ago, and there's probably still some thought, hey, can he do this all year? Even anywhere near this, and not to be to this extent, but you know, can he have a sub-2 ERA all year and be in a position to do that
he
does that?
It's becoming more realistic, isn't it?
It is. For the actual award itself, the Royals, I think, as a team, need to get going a little bit, though, unfortunately. With the Tigers run away with the division, it's going to be awfully tough to beat Skubal in that regard, based off of what he's still doing. I mean, he had a complete game two outings ago, did Skubal. So that would be the only thing I would say about that when it comes to the actual Cy Young award. But Brian Sweeney is going to have, it looks like, three different pitchers in the last two seasons finishing in the top four of Cy Young. The way things are going.
I know the text line, somebody's mentioned this before, from the 816. ESPN's got Chris Bubich listed as their favorite on ESPN.
Well, that's an opinion piece.
Yeah.
Not the actual odds.
That's really what it is. That is someone's opinion that he should be the favorite to win the Cy Young. And again, based on stats, if the season ended today, I think he would win the Cy Young.
Here's the odds.
But it's not, but he's also still, what is he, fourth or fifth still?
So Skubal's the favorite, -160. Hunter Brown, +700. Garrett Crochet, 7.5 to 1. Max Fried, 9.5 to 1. Jacob DeGrom, 13 to 1. Chris Bubich, 21 to 1.
So if you like him to win the Cy Young, so you can still get him.
The sixth best odds right now to win the
If it isn't today, would they give him the award? Like, why not? He's been the best pitcher. Why wouldn't you? Like, and again, they don't.
For the
sake of the argument, they obviously don't. I mean, we're not even halfway through the season. But if they did, shouldn't he win it?
The fact that it's voted on by humans in the media, I don't think he would. I think there'd be some lazy Baseball Writers Association people that would, just give it to Skubal. So, all right, let's talk about Bubich. Let's talk about Cags. We believe Joel Goldberg will be calling in on the other side. That's coming up right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it.
then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
All right, back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We will get to the random question of the day in about 12 minutes or so. But let's continue talking about Jack Caglione. He gets the call up from AAA Omaha. He will make his debut tomorrow in St. Louis. Someone that's obviously very familiar with the Royals, but also spent plenty of time in St. Louis as well, is about to join us. That, of course, is Joel Goldberg from FanDuel Sports Network. Joel, it's great to have you on the show. Obviously, everybody's excited. There's some new bounce in everybody's step today talking about Cags. And you've been around these type of call-ups before. Maybe it was Haas, maybe it was Bobby. It seems like it's not just a fan base morale boost, but I would imagine it does the same for a clubhouse.
Oh, it for sure does the same for a clubhouse. And, you know, I think any manager, whether they beat you over the head with this observation like Ned might have, or maybe Q wouldn't quite say it this way, but none of these moves are meant to appease and excite the fan base, right? I mean, you'd like to hope and think that that's what comes from it. And in this case, you know that it does. But they're going to do these moves whenever they think the time is right, especially this organization. They're very disciplined with that. Maybe in a bigger market like in New York or in LA or somewhere where you're desperately trying to sell a ticket, you do it in earlier than needed or before you're comfortable because, hey, it might bring fans to the ballpark. If anything, I would say that, and I don't know what piece of the equation this went into. I can make some guesses on it, but I think that the convenience, there's some convenience in the timing of being out of town and not having it be a total circus. Although I think the circus will just travel to St. Louis now because all the media can get there. Like this probably would have been a little easier for them to do in say Seattle or something like that. But the bottom line is they feel like he's ready today or tomorrow. And you make that move first and foremost because you believe he is ready and he is a better option than what you have at whatever spot. We all know that he has to be one of your best options right now. And if proven otherwise, so be it. They believe that he's ready right now. And then do you do that just to light excitement or fire in the clubhouse? No, but I can promise you that all of those guys are excited. I can promise you every one of those guys knew when he had the 5 homers in 4 days. They may not be looking at the box scores the way we are, but word gets around quick and they want to win. And so this is, I can promise you that there are text chains flying around from the players the moment that they heard about this, just like you all did and we all did with our friends and family.
The way I view it, Joel, is like I'm not saying he can't struggle in the big leagues, right? Like those things happen and it's certainly more than plausible for that to be the case, but he wasn't going to learn how to hit at the major league level in the minors anymore. Like it seemed fairly obvious this was no longer a challenge. So if there's things in his game that need improvement, it wasn't going to happen at double to triple A because it wasn't the effort. The challenge wasn't there.
Right. But you have to make that determination. And they did so in 2 weeks, yeah, which is much quicker than I think what they typically would do, mm-hmm, which, and I just know, you guys both know that JJ Piccolo from JJ through his staff and all the way up even to ownership with John Sherman and his group, they are not the panic button type. I think that a lot of fans would like for them to be the panic button type because fans are in the moment and they're emotional and that's part of being a fan and you don't care about what it might do potentially negative or not in the future. That's the GM's job to worry about all that kind of stuff. And for them to make this move to me has so much less about the offense right now and more about they saw what they needed to see in 2 weeks, because you know what, if they felt like he needed more in the minor leagues or that, hey, it's just a couple of weeks, they can wait another week or two if they needed to. But I felt like I felt all along. I mean, it's the same thing with you guys. What's the number one question we've been asked in spring training? When's Jack Caglione coming up? Mm-hmm. And people wanted him there on opening day. And that just, I try to take the emotion out of everything in my role. You guys don't have to take the emotion out as much. It's talk radio. It should be emotional. It should be all that. I'm there just to tell you what's going on. And to me, that means taking the emotion out and just looking at things realistically. There was no way they were ever going to put him on the opening day roster mm-hmm. with the very limited handful of games that he had and in pro ball. So now you look and you say, okay, what's it going to take to get him here and when is it going to happen? And so I thought all along, let's just say if things go well, it's the All-Star break. I thought that was pretty realistic. So then and I thought that he'd be in Double-A about as long as he was. So they move him up, and then I think, all right, you know, maybe it could be sometime in July. Maybe it's not the All-Star break. Maybe it's not after the All-Star break. Maybe it's the beginning of July. Then he has that first week on the road and the five homers in four games. And remember, everybody at that point is clamoring, bring him up tomorrow. And you even heard, you know, saw some of the silly tweets of, you know, John Rabe is coming up on Memorial Day. That's not how you spell it. My favorite tweet that I saw, I try not to read too many of them anymore, is a guy commented something like, that's not how you spell Caglione on the Rabe tweet, and he misspelled Caglione, which I thought was hysterical. That's and good. Just so typical. And it's like, okay, is five homers in 4 days enough? Maybe for people, but probably not. And you know what? Now they want to see him. Do it at home. Don't do it in Salt Lake. Omaha's a good place to hit. It's not quite the same as Salt Lake. Let's see what it looks like at home, and let's get him, you know, working with Rusty Kuntz and all these things. Now you see 2 weeks of it, and you're like, to what you just said, Cody, wait a minute. This may be too small for him. Let's go right now, and the timing is right, and everything fits. So I think a lot had to have gone into this. I thought after the five-homer week that maybe – you know, July 1 turns into the middle of June. And then I thought after last week, maybe it's sooner. And I didn't expect last night, but I'm not totally shocked by it either.
We're talking to Joel Goldberg of FanDuel Sports Network. You were out in spring training. I'm assuming you've had a chance to talk to Cags at least little bit. So he doesn't strike us in our brief interaction we've had with him as someone that's, you know, too high, too low. It seems pretty even keeled in terms of what, you know, what tomorrow might be or what next Tuesday might be at Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah, I don't know what he's like, you know, when he, for lack of a better term, when he snaps, when he gets mad, when he's fired up, good mm-hmm. or bad for that matter. I just haven't been around it enough other than to know he's very comfortable, you know, sitting and doing an interview. You guys saw that. He's certainly an engaging guy. I don't know if he's quite as low-key as Bobby Witt Jr., but I see the same composure, just in a guy that does not seem wide-eyed by the moment. And I thought, to me, the most telling thing in spring training – now, keep in mind, I'm only there for a few days in my role, but he and then I saw comments from players afterwards. I would watch him in the clubhouse, the way he just integrated with the Bobby Witts and the Vinny Pasquantinos, and really the next wave of leadership on this team, and you know, your star players that are much closer to him in age than say Salvi would be or Waka or some of the guys that are in their 30s that have been doing this a lot longer. And what I noticed was he blended in and looked, and it certainly doesn't hurt that you have his physical stature. He looked like if you were to walk into the room and not know faces and names, you'd be like, which ones are the big leaguers in here? And you'd pick out him right away because of the size, but also the way he just blended in with everybody in terms of a comfort level and personality. Yet he was never the loudest guy in the room. I mean, there's always this thing with young guys, and certainly – you know, guys that are only in big league camp and non-roster invitees and that type of thing, that, you know, you're rookies, what do they say? Rookies are meant to be seen and not heard. He was never the loud guy in the room, but yet he fit with all the guys, whether they were loud. Vinny's a little bit louder, Bobby a little bit quieter. He just looked like he was already part of that group, and it wasn't him so much trying to do it. It was them bringing him in.
When you look at some of these others, so now I'm going to ask you, because you've been around the team long enough, how do you think the moment usually ends up going for these guys? I was at Alex Gordon's debut when the entire crowd stood up, when he came up with the bases loaded, or we were talking about Bobby Witt Jr.'s debut, but that felt different because it was already opening day. Like, How do you compare like those moments when Jack Caglione and all the buzz comes up? How does that hit them a lot of times when you talk to these guys after?
They're all different. You know, I think the one thing you'll hear him say now, tomorrow, I should say, is he'll say some version of, because this is what the kind of the current generation says, something along the lines of, I just want to be where my feet are. And I'm not making fun of that expression. It just, we hear it a lot, and I don't remember ever hearing that in the past. I think it's the lingo now for being present, for enjoying the moment. And you know, I hear so many of them say that. I believe in that, by the way, too. I love that expression. But you know, he may go 0-for-4 tomorrow. He might go 4-for-4. He might not be in the lineup. I think he's going to be in the lineup. But
don't scare people, Joel. Please, you know.
No, well, look, nobody's ever consulted me on a lineup. None of the managers that I've covered here, from Trey Hillman through Matt Quatrero, have consulted me, nor will they ever. But I'm pretty sure that it's safe to say he is going to be somewhere tomorrow at first base or DH or a corner outfield spot. But I don't know if he's going to hit two homers. But what I think is going to be really cool, I'm sure all of his family will be there. The Royals do a great job of making sure that the families get in, is that he's going to get a nice reception. There's going to be a lot of Royals fans there.
Mm-hmm.
That we're probably already going to be going and have already suddenly said, you know what, we may need to make a Tuesday trip to St. Louis. And by the way, I think the weather's supposed to be good tomorrow and maybe rain on Wednesday. So if you want to catch him tomorrow, might be a good way to do it. How he's going to handle the moment, I don't know, but he's been on the big stage. I mean, you don't come out of Florida. Brady Singer will tell you this. Jonathan India will tell you this. Anybody that came out of Florida will tell you that was training at the highest level. I mean, that level of college baseball program has a lot of similarities to the major leagues, not in terms of the level of talent at that point, but just in terms of the expectation and the attention to detail and the spotlight. So I don't think he's going to be overwhelmed by anything. And this is different, I think, than, you know, a John Rabe coming up, or think of some of the most recent call-ups. Very few, if ever, will step onto a big league field for the first time, having already had the spotlight that Jack Caglione has, or Bobby Witt Jr. And I would argue, because of the college stage, a greater spotlight than Bobby had coming into his big league debut, in part because he's a little bit older than what Bobby was. But, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this a lot, I'm pivoting just a smidge here, but I don't know the last time there was a call-up to this magnitude, because at least for me, I've talked to a couple of people about this today, I don't think you can compare it to Bobby Witt Jr. or Alex Gordon, because opening day is different. And I don't say that to minimize, if anything, you know, theirs were better in the sense that right from day one, they were there, or maybe more impressive. I don't know what the right word is, but it's different because in the midst of opening day, you have all the pomp and circumstance. You're looking at rosters, who made the team, expectations for the year. Like the number one, two, three, four, and five thing tomorrow is Jack Caglione, and we could only do so much of that with Bobby Witt Jr. on opening day.
Joel Goldberg, we appreciate it as always. Safe travels to St. Louis. We'll see you out there tomorrow.
Oh, you mean you guys are going?
We are.
We're driving out there tonight. Yes.
Of course you are. Get the t-shirts going, right?
We know how to do a road trip.
We're not allowed to do this, but I'm convinced we could make a lot of money if we just open up the back of Cody's SUV and sold CAG shirts out the back of it tomorrow outside Busch Stadium. We can't do it, but I'm convinced we would make a lot of money.
Sell some Cody and Gold shirts.
All right. Yeah, appreciate it. There you go. Joel Goldberg, FanDuel Sports Network. We will see him.
He's like,
tomorrow.
Wait, you guys are really gone? Like, yeah.
Yeah. So we
came together this morning.
Yeah. There's still other things we're texting and getting ironed out. Very excited, even more excited mm-hmm. with some new information we got. We'll fill you in tomorrow. Very excited. So tonight we'll drive to St. Louis. Tomorrow we'll do our show from St. Louis. Dusty will leave, I think, after his show tomorrow, so he'll also be there. But we're going to do our show there, then we'll be out at Busch Stadium. Follow us on social tomorrow, because we'll have an opportunity, along with every other media outlet that's going to be out there.
But their content will be worse.
That's
ours
right.
Will be better.
Yeah, theirs will be awful. We will talk to CAGs before the game, after the game, and we'll have some fun videos, hopefully, during the game as well. And with some new information, I think you and I will also have a little different perspective too during the game.
I think so. Looking forward to that. We're going to try to cover some of the stuff before and bring you kind of everything of his major league debut, because it is a big debut. He's saying in his time, he can't remember. Hosmer is the answer, because the other ones were on opening day. The vibe's a little bit different. The answer is Hosmer. He was in the middle. He was one of baseball's top prospects. And again, same thing applies to Alex Gordon. Even if you're like, did Hosmer reach the absolute ceiling of what people thought he could have been when he came to the big league? The answer is no. He's still a 10, 12 year big leaguer,
yeah,
and a future Royals Hall of Famer and a million other things. He's a great pro,
yeah,
to go with it. I wonder if he'll be in the stands. He's been tweeting about CAG since
he has
spring training.
He has. And I know tomorrow, as you said, we'll get into more expectations and bigger picture stuff with him. And of course the rest of the season today, obviously exciting news with CAGs getting called up. Someone says, hey, Cody and Gold, the shirt, and the abbreviation for the show is CAG.
Oh, so CAGs, if it's
Jack is an abbreviation for his name, CAGs.
Yeah, he's Jeffrey Allen Caglione. Is that what it is?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
I've never heard anyone call him that. We asked him which nickname he preferred because Caglione is long, and he said that he prefers CAGs is good. Because we mentioned some of the other like silly ones that people, because like, you know what it is. People want to say Jack Hammer or Jack, you know, like Jack lends itself for a lot of opportunity in the pun game. So, you know, people have had a lot of freedom with it. But that's true. Cody and Gold, CAGs. Show, right? Cody and Gold, show, CAGs. Whatever we got to add to get the yes there on the end makes it work, I think.
All right, let's...
But yeah, we'll be there.
Yeah, let's get to the random question.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965. Of course, we're on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. Gold's wearing his Storm Chasers CAG shirt. I'm wearing a different Ray Gun shirt that says the vibes are great because I want my CAG shirt for the stadium tomorrow, obviously. I don't think anybody could blame me, at least on that end. But the random question I had today came sad news late last night. It was announced that John Brinkus, the former host of Sports Science, had passed away. A guy I'd gotten a chance to interview a couple of times at a few radio rows. Really, really cool dude. And a super unique show that he ran over at ESPN for a while. So, very simple question in honor of John Brinkus today is, I just want to know what your favorite episode or moment on Sports Science was. A show that I feel like we all watched at least for a time when it had like a big moment. Let's just play this one for an example so you can get your juices flowing a little bit. This is the one he did on Patrick Mahomes.
To see how Mahomes handles a collapsing pocket, we challenged him to our pressure test, and his mobility was on full display. In one of the most impressive maneuvers, he reacts to an incoming heavy bag and jump cuts in only half a second. This allows him to avoid contact with the bag by just 4 inches, or about the length of an outstretched finger. But what really stands out about Mahomes is how he manages to keep his eyes locked on target. Studies have shown that maintaining visual fixation with the target increases accuracy by 20%. This helps explain why Mahomes can escape pressure and rocket throws that are straight money.
I mean, you can hear like
each obviously
little part.
Very, very sad news yesterday to see that come out. As far as the show and what he did, that was one of the great shows that have been on ESPN. You know, just a different generation of ESPN and everything. But that's the Mahomes one. But the sports,
I remember the Dirk shot one always that stood out to me. One. That one, because it's just like he's not supposed to statistically be able to do that in any way.
Right.
Somebody put the line from that Dirk one. If you were as tall as Yao Ming with the vertical leap of Derrick Rose, you still couldn't get a hand on the ball. That's the way that Dirk shoots his fadeaway jumper.
I love that show. I really did. And it was innovative at what they were able to do with it. And then I believe he had recently started like his own, I don't know if it was a full network or app or something. But very sad. I know they put out a statement. His family put out a statement that he had been battling, you know, some mental health issues and depression. And yeah, really, really sad news last night that came out. Actually, like that news happened like 10 minutes after the CAG stuff. So I saw that. I was on Twitter quite a bit last night because of CAGs, and then saw really sad news So
he was super nice the couple times I met him.
Yeah, that's right. Radio Row and stuff.
I've interviewed him a couple of times. We would get the emails
about availability. Yeah.
Super, super nice guy. From the 816, the Cristiano Ronaldo episode is unreal. The thing that always stood out to me is the ones where I think it was Calvin Johnson when they showed like essentially his catch radius was like a double door garage door or whatever. You're like, what the hell on earth is this? Or the text I mentioned, the Kevin Love full shot, which was there.
When he went up against a sumo wrestler to get the rebound. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like every part of it that like, I kind of love the behind the scenes because it was like the opposite of pros versus Joes. It was like, hey, you know, like here's you going up against these athletes. And instead they show these guys in their prime being like, this is why you'd have no chance.
Yeah.
Like, let me just be clear. Here is the reason why. Look at what Cristiano Ronaldo can do with his physical body. You have to be no chance at doing any of these things against him. Like, and I think that that's kind of what always stood out about it. Someone says that was Justin Blackman's catch radius. I just couldn't remember the wide receiver. But it's like, I loved seeing those things because it always felt like an inside look behind the things that they did. I saw one, I think Dwight Howard, they did one for like his Superman stuff and all that. There's just so many good stuff.
The end of the Mahomes one, we didn't quite get to the end of it, but he compares him to Jameis Winston and Donovan McNabb.
Well, McNabb, you know.
He said he has the intangibles, I believe, of Donovan McNabb or something along those lines. And the arm, it was more the arm strength of Jameis, who they also tested, I think, with sports science in the lab, as John Brinkus always used to say.
Did you watch that show? You said you watched it quite a bit.
Quite a bit, yeah.
That was always on in like the late afternoons, wasn't it?
It was like PTI,
3:30 or whatever it was.
Yeah, you could catch it in that like PTI around the horn
I
window.
I got home from school and that was it.
Like, you know, in some of that, like, you know, the best versions of those. I think the best, like when I was probably watching ESPN in the afternoons the most. Right? And that what you...
Well, that the heyday of it was, for my age, I was in middle school / high school probably. And yeah, you had PTI around the horn, you had sports science. That was when it was, I think, at its best. Like, and there's certain elements of ESPN that I like today. There's obviously plenty of elements today that are not the same and that, you know, it's a different era. It's a big reason why Around the Horn no longer exists. It wrapped up, 2 weeks ago or whatever?
Mm-hmm. That was a great run of shows. And then when Sports Nation was a big deal with Michelle Beadle and when Colin Cowherd was at ESPN, you had that, Around the Horn, and Sports Science and PTI all back to back to back.
I will say the one show I never understood that anybody enjoyed was Sports Reporters. I did not.
That was different style.
I did not understand the appeal of that show at all. Just a bunch of untrimmed eyebrow hair and dumb.
What? Wait, hold on. Stop. That's what stood out about the show was eyebrow hair.
Just old men who didn't groom.
Wasn't John Saunders like the main guy on that show? RIP to John Saunders as well. I think John Saunders was a main.
Yeah, I think
so. That was a weekend show, though, wasn't it?
The Sports Reporters was a very good show. Different.
It was like Saturday
or Sunday. Yeah. It didn't do anything for me.
It's a very serious show, and, you know, it's a little bit different. But
it was like the Outside the Lines, wasn't it? Kind of? Or was it a little bit different
than that? It was more panel style than that, but yeah.
Right, yeah, because they had more of them altogether.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said, if only he could have done an episode on Cody's chances to beat Jordan, given an endless time loop against.
Seriously. He would have been like, this is not even worth my time. Not even worth my time, but obviously thoughts to his family. Very, very sad news with the creator and founder of Sports Science passing away yesterday at the age of just 53. All right, up next, let's get to 1 o'clock hour. Let's talk more about CAGS, his call up tomorrow, including the Rookie of the Year market, which has gotten very interesting for people in Kansas City. And we'll briefly touch on Drew's tweet that got people riled up again.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.